good morning, everybody. Time again now for our weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And joining us in the studio again today, we always love having him in here, your realty expert, John Brodine. How are you doing there, John?
I'm doing well, John. How about yourself?
Good, good, John. I like that. John. It sounds like the Waltons. One thing about John Brodine, you are a numbers guy. You're all into these stats and all this kind of stuff. Let's talk about latest stats. August is done. We're into a new month now. How is the month of August looking?
So normally things are starting to wind down a little bit in August. You know, when somebody's buying a house, they're in a situation where even if they're, you know, if they offer on it during August, they're going to be closing after their kids start school, which is a factor for people. So normally we see things slow down a little bit in August, but this August was a really, really great month. So a couple things to note. Inventory is very low. Lowest it's been all year, 234 listings on the market. It's the lowest that it's been since March of 2017. 234 listings on the market. And in March of 2017, we didn't count the listings that were pending inspection as actives. So if you take away the 25 that were, you know, active inspection contingency, you know, then you're down to 209 listings on the market. It's been a long time since there were that few listings on the market. Then you're back. Yeah. January of 2017 would be the last time that there were that few listings on the market. So as well as low inventory, you know, low inventory doesn't mean anything if only 10 houses are selling a month. We did see high activity, which is a good thing for the market. 64 homes went pending. And like I said, 25 homes are active contingent upon a home inspection. So those will probably go pending within the next couple weeks. Busy month for activity. That's the most pending since August. That's the most pendings in the month of August since August 2016. So that's a big deal. Then we look at the months of inventory. So basically the relative inventory, how the active listings compared to how many are selling per month, right? And so if you took all the active inventory, the 234 listings, and if they continued selling at 64 homes per month, it would take 3.65 months for all of those listings to sell, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So the last time that relative inventory was that low in August was August of 2015. So lots of activity, low inventory. That means demand's high. These are the type of conditions that cause prices to rise. Prices in real estate don't just slowly climb, you know, it's usually characterized by, you know, values increase pretty fast during a time like this. And then, you know, maybe the market balances itself out, you know, inventory catches back up with demand, and then you see kind of a plateau for quite a while.
Okay.
And then you see maybe another time where it increases. So these are the conditions where, you know, you can see prices increase. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but, you know, months and years, this is the condition that.
So what I'm getting out of this is, are there a lot of people looking for houses, but there's just not that many available?
Yes.
Okay. And why is inventory low? It's just something that kind of happens now and then, or?
Yeah. So the number of homes that are accepting offers is part of the reason that inventory is low, because a lot of them are getting scooped up.
Okay.
And part of that is because interest rates are still very low. They've been really, really low. They've been below 3 since May.
Incredible.
So that's a pretty extended time where interest rates are really, really low. So that's an incentive for buyers to buy now, which, you know, eats up more of the inventory. We also saw fewer homes hit the market during those spring months, when a lot of homes usually do hit the market, because of COVID.
Sure.
A lot of people decided to sit on the sidelines. During those spring months, buyers sat on the sidelines as well. But we saw the buyers kind of get off the sidelines and start, like, really into, you know, in June, it was really crazy. You know, 83 homes went pending in June. So April and May were slower than usual, but then June really came back, you know.
Okay. Now, you mentioned back to school. Is it a tough time? Maybe somebody finds a house that they really like on the other side of town. Kids are already in school. Now, I don't know how that works, but do those kids, do they have to change schools, you know, midway through the school year? And would that have something to do with maybe why, you know, people aren't buying or selling as much when school starts? Or probably not.
I believe so. I don't have kids of my own, so I haven't, mm-hmm. haven't experienced this, and I don't know quite as much about this, but I believe you would have to switch schools if you switch school districts.
Okay.
School year. That's something I'd have to check on, honestly, and get back to you. Not something I'm too familiar with. But a lot of people like to move before their kids start school, so they
sure.
get settled in, you know, the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, and with the kids that they're going to be going to school with. Often, you know, there's just less going on. Easier to move during the summer months when the weather's nicer too. I think, you know, it's just a combination of things.
Well, you know, when it's say if you buy a house or sell a house, you don't just say, okay, I'm going to sell my house and boom, somebody finds it that day, buys it. They don't move in the next day. This all takes how much time on average?
About 45 days on average. There's a lot of things that have to happen. You get through home inspection is the first thing, you know, mortgage underwriting, a part of the mortgage underwriting is appraisal. Appraisers are doing appraisals on properties that are being refinanced as well as properties that are being purchased. So, and with rates being this low, a lot of people are refinancing, meaning the appraisers are busy. So that's one of the things that kind of takes the longest. You know, if a deal weren't subject to appraisal, I bet banks would be getting them done in 3 weeks or a month.
Okay.
But they do take, you know, 45 to 50 days.
Okay. Now that leads us up to what time of the year it is. I mean, fall, you know, and yep. which means winter could be anywhere from 3 days away to 3 months away. But
yeah.
I would imagine a lot of people probably don't like moving in the winter either. But I mean, you're the stat guy, you're the number guy. Does that dip a little bit in the winter? I mean, around here when the winter's, you know, let's face it, we live in the tundra. It gets yep. pretty harsh up here. I don't like moving, period,
yeah.
but I would preferably not have to do it in the winter.
Yeah, so you're right, exactly. Fewer homes do sell during the winter months. So usually, if we look at pendings, because that's the stuff that's happening right now, that takes out that lag time of 45 days from contract to close. So pendings is when the offers are being written and when they're being accepted. The slowest month of 2019 for pendings was December. Only 34 homes went pending in December in 2019. The busiest month of the year in all of 2019 was May. 82 homes went pending.
Okay.
So you half of the activity, like in the worst winter month, is about half the activity than the busiest spring month.
Okay, now, is the interest rates right now incredibly low?
Yes.
The lowest in many years. Yeah. And is there a way to gauge if that's going to stay low like that, or how does that get figured out?
Yeah, that's a little bit over my head. Mm-hmm. But one thing that people should know is when you hear about the Fed raising or lowering rates, that doesn't necessarily affect interest rates.
Okay.
So the thing, interest rates rely on supply and demand within the bond market.
Okay.
Some of this is a little over my head, like I said, but so when you hear about the Fed's raising or lowering rates, that doesn't always correlate with mortgage interest rates.
Sure.
The mortgages are packaged as bonds. And I think it's that bond market. This would be a better question for a lender, but just my knowledge on it, that's what affects the mortgage
rate. So I would imagine, as you being a realty expert with Berkshire Hathaway, you would just absolutely love to see these interest rates stay down for forever.
Yeah. There's different opinions as far as from a macroeconomic standpoint, from the, you know, 50,000 foot view, if it's good to have interest rates be this low for an extended amount of time, for the economy as a whole, you know, because sometimes, I mean, it's almost free money if interest rates are lower than inflation.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So that's a conversation for a different time. But as far as for the housing market, it's great because it's good for buyers and it's good for sellers. You're able to, you know.
So basically now's the time to buy or sell. If you've been thinking about it, maybe you're on the fence, maybe there's a place you've been looking at, maybe there's a different place you want to move, now is basically the time, because you don't know how long these interest rates are going to go. Nobody does.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great time to lock in a 30-year, you know, fixed rate mortgage, or a 15-year. You know, maybe the house you wanted before, you were going to be putting it on a 30-year, and that's how the payment would fit your budget.
Mm-hmm.
But now maybe you're able to do a 20-year because your payment is so much, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're paying so much less interest each month.
Yep.
It's definitely the time to pull the trigger, because you never know when rates are, you know, if you lock in a high interest rate, eventually if rates dip below where they're at, and you hope that they would, you can refinance. It costs money to refinance. It's not free. So
right.
you have to make sure it makes sense.
But mm-hmm.
right now, I mean, I can't imagine rates ever getting much lower than where they're at right now.
Right.
So it's great to lock that in for 30 years, because that could be a huge asset to you.
Absolutely. Is there anything you've got right now that you're just itching to tell people about?
I've got a couple things in the works, but they're a little, they're, I'm not able to say anything about mm-hmm. them. So maybe next week or the week after, I'll
okay.
be able to tell you about them.
Okay. So
with inventory being so low, is that a good time to sell then? Can you like increase the price of your home?
Yeah. So, it is usually when you see situations like this, this is when you see like record setting sales. Obviously, if you do something crazy, I could put my house for sale for $1 million and put it on the front cover of the New York Times. Nobody's going to buy it. But if it is the time when you can maybe reach a little bit. You still have to make it a compelling enough price where you don't, you know, miss your mark. And then, because houses that have been sitting on the market for a long time, even if now they've price reduced and they're priced reasonably, they're still sitting for a long time. People aren't paying much attention to them. But the new listings are going very fast. So you can reach a little bit if there's a time that you can set a record and, you know, sell your home for more than what the past comps have sold. It's under these type of market conditions. It's still a fine line to walk. So you need to do a lot of research and, you know, rely on your realtor's expert advice there.
Okay. Yeah. And also, Bailey says hi.
Hello, Bailey.
Oh, hi, Bailey. Another thing now, when you see houses for sale for a long time, is that because you think maybe they're priced too high to start? And maybe they didn't listen to your advice? Because, I mean, a good realty expert like you guys at Berkshire Hathaway, you got all this down. You know, somebody might say, well, I want $250,000 for this house. And you might say, well, no, I don't think it's going to happen. But I suppose you almost have to go with what they ask for. And is that maybe one of the reasons why certain houses seem to be for sale for so long?
Yeah. So to answer the first part of your question, The more experienced agents with a bigger book of business, you know, if I think your house is worth $300,000 and you say, John, I want you to list it for $375,000. If you don't list it for that, I'm going to find a different agent. I'd probably tell you to find a different agent because
okay.
you're probably not a very good fit to work together.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to find an agent who would do it. Even if they know it's worth $300,000, you might find an agent who doesn't know the market very well and doesn't even know that it's not worth $375,000. So not all agents are created equal with that. You know, I like to work with people who are going to be a good fit, and, you know, I like to work with people who listen to the experts, and that's how I'm able to do my job the best and that sort of thing. When you see a home that's been sitting on the market for a long time, if it's a move-in ready home that's not real quirky and, you know, nothing real crazy, yes, you can assume that it was priced incorrectly up front. Maybe now they've price reduced a handful of times, and now they're maybe in the right range. You know, maybe now they're priced accurately, but they've just gotten so far behind the eight ball and they've lost the consumer confidence in that product. Another reason why you might see a property sit for a long time is it's really unusual and it appeals to a really niche buyer. There's maybe major things with the layout and the setup that can't be changed. That could cause this property to sit on the market for quite a while. If a home sells right away, but then fails home inspection and ends up falling apart, or the deal falls apart due to home inspection, comes back on the market, now that property is fighting a little bit of a stigma. So that's another reason why you might see
okay.
a property kind of sit on the market for a while and people aren't noticing it. There's many different situations, you know, many different situations, but you can usually narrow it down to
I have a few. One more question. This might be a question for another show, but do you ever approach people saying, you know, like your house is starting to lose value in the neighborhood that you're in because you start seeing the neighborhood around there, you know, if we get like kind of like apartment complexes that start to pop up and they're becoming kind of like a lower income. And now, so you lived in this once really immaculate neighborhood and you're starting to see the things around it kind of deteriorate. Does that make sense?
Usually that's not something where we're going to approach a homeowner. I find that homeowners are usually pretty in touch with that sort of thing in their neighborhood. So if they're feeling like, the potential in their neighborhood is going down just because of the way the neighbors take care of their properties and that sort of thing, it's usually something they're very in tune with because they're the ones who see it every day. Mm-hmm. And there's some laws where we have to be pretty careful about approaching people with that sort of thing.
And it can work the other way too. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe your house isn't the nicest house in the neighborhood, but you're in a really great neighborhood and that's probably going to help you.
Exactly. That's a situation where they might talk to us and, you know, ask, hey, John, if I put 50, 60, 70, 100 grand into my house, is it going to be worth that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I take a close look at the neighborhood and see how much potential sure. there is for that house in that neighborhood. And neighborhood makes a very big difference when I'm doing that. I do that for my clients quite a bit. They're thinking about a remodeling project. My past clients know that they should reach out to me because what I don't want is I don't want them to put 100 grand into their house and then have to and they never talk to me about it. And then I have, when they're ready to move in 7 years,
mm-hmm.
I have to tell them, hey, you're not going to get nearly the money back that you put into it.
Sure.
You put too much into it.
Yep. Yep. You know, that's why you're the realty expert. Man, it's great talking to you.
Yeah.
And you're coming back again, I believe in a couple of days or yes. whatever, but there we go. We're going to wrap this one up, your weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. And John Brodeen, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Text me or call me, 701-213-5428.
All right, there you go. Our weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast. Thank you, John Brodeen, once again, John, for coming in the studio. It's always fun having you in here. And stay tuned. There'll be another one coming up here, hopefully next week. Your weekly Berkshire Hathaway podcast.
How long we go on that one?
Oops.